However, it's time we passed on to the next heading, which is the symbolism of perfume. I mentioned that smell, the experience of smell, depends upon the transmission of tiny, invisible particles through the olfactory nerve endings. Odor, or scent, or perfume is therefore an extremely subtle thing. We can't see it. We can't hear it. Nonetheless, it's very definitely there. Perfume can therefore be a symbol. It can be a symbol for something very subtle, very delicate, something quite intangible, yet something that is very definitely there, that can be perceived, that can produce certain effects, that can affect us from a distance even. It can be a symbol, perfume can be a symbol for a very subtle influence, a very subtle emanation. So what is the subtlest of all influences, the subtlest of all emanations, the most difficult to perceive, yet in a sense always present, present like radio waves in the air? According to the Mahayana, it's the influence of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The influence, if you like, of enlightenment, or, to speak metaphysically, though still symbolically, the influence of the Absolute. And what is this influence called? This influence of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, this influence of enlightenment, is called compassion. Or more correctly, great compassion. This great compassion is not just an individual emotion, at howsoever high a level. It's a sort of a transcendental emanation, we may say, of the transcendental reality itself. That is to say, of that reality with which the Buddhas and great Bodhisattvas are, as it were, at one. When in the mythic language of the Vimalakirti Niradesha, chapter 10, this reality is called Amrita. There's a very concrete, simplified ambrosia, or nectar of immortality. And this ambrosia is perfumed. It's perfumed with great compassion. And Vimalakirti therefore says to Shariputra and the great disciples, when giving them the ambrosia, reverence, eat of the food of the Tathagata. It is ambrosia perfumed by the great compassion. In the pure land called sweetly perfumed with all perfumes, Sugandhakuta and the Bodhisattvas regularly feast on ambrosia. That is to say, they feast on reality. They live on reality. They're nourished by reality. And therefore, they're pervaded by the emanation of reality, pervaded by the influence of reality. They're pervaded, that is to say, by the perfume of compassion. That whole pure land, in fact, is pervaded by it. Everything in that pure land, in fact, is made of it, made of compassion, made of perfume. The text says, in that universe, all the houses, the avenues, the parks, and the palaces are made of various perfumes. That is to say, are made of spiritual influences, are made of transcendental influences, transcendental emanations, are made of compassion. The that pure land is a land, is a universe of purely spiritual, purely transcendental influences. Power, in the sense of force, does not exist there in howsoever subtle a form. So we can begin to understand something of the meaning of Vimalakirti's bringing the food, bringing the ambrosia from the pure land of Buddha, Sugandhakuta. We can begin to see something of the meaning of the fact that the fragrance of the food brought pervades the entire great city of Vaishali, permeates and pervades throughout 100 universes. We can begin to understand the nature of its effect on the people of Vaishali. But there's no time to enlarge on all that now. We're simply concerned with the symbolism of perfume, with perfume as a symbol of the influence, so to speak, of transcendental reality. We find this same symbolism in a very important and historically influential text of Far Eastern Buddhism called The Awakening of Faith in the Mahayana. The Mahayana here meaning something like great principle, not just a particular form of Buddhism. The Awakening of Faith in the Mahayana is not a sutra, that is to say, not a discourse represented as being a discourse by the Buddha, but a shastra, that is to say, it's a text attributed to a great Buddhist teacher, posterior to the Buddha himself. In this case, the teacher is Ashvaghosha. The text survives only in Chinese translation, and according to some scholars, it was actually composed or written down in China. And it speaks, the awakening of faith in the Mahayana speaks of ultimate reality as tathata, or bhuta tathata. Tathata means simply suchness. Bhuta tathata means the suchness of things. Ultimate reality is such as it is. It cannot be described. It was, what is reality? What is the absolute? What is the ultimate? It's such as it is. You can only say it's characterized by suchness, or such as it isness. It can't be described. So, the awakening of faith in Mahayana speaks of ultimate reality as tathata, or bhuta tathata, suchness, the suchness of things. And this ultimate reality, this tathata, is spoken of in the awakening of faith as perfuming conditioned existence. That is to say, something of itself rubs off, so to speak, onto conditioned existence. A few tiny, infinitesimally tiny particles, lots of inverted commas here, are transmitted. And we are therefore able to perceive ultimate reality, however faintly, in the midst of conditioned existence. And perceiving it, we're able to strive towards it. Not only that, according to the awakening of faith, not only does ultimate reality perfume conditioned existence, conditioned existence perfumes, if that is quite the right word, ultimate reality. Because it is perfumed by conditioned existence, ultimate reality manifests compassion. Compassion is its response. This is a very profound conception. But again, there's no time to enlarge on the matter. In any case, at present, we're concerned with perfume as a symbol of the far-reaching influence of ultimate reality, simply. And as I said before, perfume is a very suitable symbol for this sort of influence. is a very suitable symbol for great compassion. Because this sort of influence is very, very subtle, very, very delicate. And we know this, perhaps, to a limited extent, from our own experience, especially if we practice meditation. A time comes when we perceive, when we become aware of something that we can't describe, something that we can't define, something which doesn't come under any of our mundane categories. Yet, at the same time, there's nothing vague, there's nothing cloudy about it. It's intensely vivid and intensely real, just like a strange perfume, like the perfume of some unknown flower, a flower belonging to some unknown botanical or horticultural species. And we might say it's the perfume of the thousand-petaled lotus itself, the lotus that blooms in the pure land, the lotus that is identical with the ambrosia. So the fact that we can have this sort of experience means two things, or rather, two things follow from it. First, just as we can perceive odours only because we have a sense of smell, have an olfactory organ, that is to say the nose, in the same way, we can perceive the perfume, the subtle perfume of ultimate reality, only because we have within us a kind of transcendental sense. Only because we have within us something that has an affinity with the transcendental, something that is akin to the transcendental, something to which the particles of the transcendental can be transmitted. This is what the Mahayana in a general way calls Tathagata Dhatu, that is to say, the element of Buddhahood. The second thing that follows is that this transcendental sense of ours can be developed. It can be made more sensitive and more refined. So much so that eventually it will be able to tell us where the perfume is coming from and in which direction we have to go to find its source,